Welcome to the Michelle Tafoya podcast. Do you know how often I've been called a transphobe? I'm not afraid of anyone who is trans. What bothers me about this movement lately is allowing trans women, that is, biological males who have transitioned to become female, to compete against biological women in sports. It is so unfair. And we're going to talk about it because the Biden administration just tweaked Title IX to make sure that this is legal in the United States. We're going to get to that. Before we do, may I ask you to just hit the subscribe button, just bang on it right now. Whether you're on Instagram, wherever you're watching us, just find it, subscribe. We'd love to have you as a regular viewer, listener. So Mae Mailman is the director of the Independent Women's Law Center. And we're really excited to have her on. She's going to tell us how they are challenging the changes that the Joe Biden administration has made to Title IX. Think about it. Women had to fight for the vote. They had to fight to have their own credit cards. And they had to fight to have their own sports divisions in universities and high schools and the rest. And this has given women so many opportunities. In fact, I would suggest that there's no way I become a female sideline reporter without Title IX, because there was really no place for women in sports of any kind when I was born. But thanks to Title IX, we all get to play sports. We all got to participate on a level playing field. So I wonder what Joe Biden really thinks of this change to Title IX. Like, if he were alone with Jill one evening and she said, you know, Joe, I really don't think this is right to allow someone identifying as a woman to compete against actual biological women. He'd probably say, I know, but I need the votes. And that's what's despicable about what's going on. No, this has nothing to do with transphobia. This has to do with fairness and with what's right. And we'll get into all those details about why this is not fair. So if you're on the side of the fence that thinks, you know, really, we want to be inclusive. We want to allow trans women to compete in the women's category. Please stay tuned. And if you're on the side that I'm on, which says, no, this is unfair, please stay tuned and find out how you might be able to influence these lawsuits that are coming out now against this Title IX change. Mae Mailman is our guest next.
Welcome to the Michelle Tafoya podcast.
So I love grilled food. And sometimes it's just a pain to think about lighting up the grill or the charcoals or whatever you use. Let me introduce you to the last grill you will ever buy. It is a Solaire infrared gas grill because you don't want to spend an hour in the kitchen making dinner, but you can do quick and easy barbecue. I mean, everything from veggies to steaks to chicken fish on a Solaire infrared gas grill. Solaire grills are the hot, fast grills that heat up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even in the dead of winter. So you're going to get the grill hot fast, and that kind of heat locks in juices and flavor and grills your food faster. I'm telling you, this will be the last grill you ever buy. So go to besthotgrill.com, besthotgrill.com. You can get their free guide, how to choose the right infrared grill. I don't care if you have an apartment balcony or a huge backyard, you will find the grill for you at besthotgrill.com. And this will be the last one you ever buy. These are made in the USA. That's why I feel really good about endorsing this product. Again, go to besthotgrill.com. Find out more, how to choose the right infrared grill for you, and you will be so glad you did. Coming up next, Mae Mailman. Mae, it's so great to have you with us. I said this in the intro to the listeners that if Joe Biden were in a room with his wife and really pressed on whether or not he thinks these ideas about Title IX that he's implementing are good ideas, he would likely say, no, but I've got this constituency I have to satisfy. What has the Biden administration done here with its changes to Title IX?
Yeah, on one hand, it sounds kind of nice. You're protecting people from discrimination. Isn't that nice? But actually, when you think about it, what it does is, by saying that Title IX prohibits discrimination on the basis of gender identity, what it means is that you have to treat people in accordance with their gender identity. Otherwise, that's harmful. That's discriminatory. So what they explicitly say is that for places like locker rooms and bathrooms, you have to let people in accordance with their gender identity. That means men in girls, young girls' locker rooms. And it also has huge implications on speech. So if you accidentally call someone the quote unquote wrong pronouns, then you haven't treated that person in accordance with their gender identity. You've harmed them, and therefore you've discriminated on the basis of gender identity. So all of a sudden now you've got to crack down on pronouns, on what you can say in order to prevent sexual harassment. So really it is the introduction of gender ideology into all schools, to the very youngest kids.
I don't know which one bothers me more. Making sure that people who identify, biological males who identify as women, thereby calling themselves trans women, are allowed to compete alongside girls, be in the locker rooms and bathrooms with girls, or that we are compelled to say things that we might get in trouble. And by the way, the list of pronouns is so vast now. I could make up new pronouns for myself right now and say, you know what, May, I insist that you call me, you know, whatever. And if you don't, I'm going to sue you. And I would assume that lawsuit would be allowed by this new Title IX. Is that right?
Exactly. And that's part of what we allege in Independent Women's Forum launched a lawsuit against the Title IX rules yesterday. So, the part of the problem is Title IX protects on the basis of sex. If all of a sudden you've introduced gender identity isn't male or female, as you say, it is whatever non-binary identification you'd like to have. That has nothing to do with sex. At that point, you can't even pretend like what the Biden administration has done here has anything to do with sex. And the Biden administration doesn't have whatever authority it thinks is a good idea. It can only do things that the people, that the democratic process have passed, and they have passed a sex protection statute. But you're exactly right. The implications of this rule have nothing to do with sex. They have everything to do with identity. And I would say that schools could get in trouble if they're not protecting kids on the basis of their invented pronouns.
Invented pronouns is a very good way of putting it. Why do you think the Biden administration did this?
Huge pressure. I mean, this is actually something that the Obama administration did via guidance. And so it's not as explicit. It wasn't 1,500 pages, but they basically said you have to treat people in accordance with their gender identity. But the problem is they didn't go through the right legal hoops. And so it never felt set in stone. It was taken away by the Trump administration. And of course, everything that the Trump administration did was evil, and we have to undo it. And so I think there was one pressure to undo Betsy DeVos, and she was the Secretary of Education under Trump, Betsy DeVos's rule. So, you know, there's pressure to resist. But then also, I think that there wasn't a huge backlash against Obama, so maybe they thought that this was the right thing, the good thing, the thing that people wanted to be done. But the world was different back then. And when you said treat people in accordance with their gender identity, I think people maybe didn't know what that means. You hadn't seen Riley Gaines come out and have to share a locker room with an intact biological male. People hadn't really seen what that is. Now we've seen what it is, and yet they're going forward anyway. So it's like this inability to see reality, see that, oh, we had bad policies, and shift. If you've got bad policies, that's okay. You can change them. You don't have to keep running down that road.
Right.
But they still are, I think, just based on history.
I think it's this fear of admitting you were wrong. You know, like, oops, communism was wrong. It killed a bunch of people. That was, you know, but those who were so loyal to it and attached to it were afraid to admit that it was wrong and that it hurt people. I'm not going to liken this to communism, although I'm sure there are parallels we could get into on another time. So the Biden administration makes these tweaks to Title IX, and as you mentioned, this lawsuit is being filed. How codified is this? Like, is this the legal landscape now since these tweaks have been made? Or does this lawsuit now hold it up?
So the Biden administration said that people don't have to officially comply until August 1st. So they gave a runway for schools. The problem is, and I think that that runway was designed to correspond to the next school year. But schools now know that those rules are out there. And so if they're acting in defiance of them, even though they don't technically have to comply until August 1st, they are in a very precarious situation because Title IX is one of these lawsuits that not only can the government come after you, but private parties can come after you. And so they know that they're going to have a lot of private parties saying, I was misgendered today. I'm bringing a lawsuit. I was not allowed into a locker room. So there's right now pressure for schools to comply, but there's not technically a legal requirement. So what we're asking in our lawsuit is well before the August 1st official deadline is to basically pause any implementation of this rule. So it's our hope that this rule never actually goes into effect. And, you know, we think we've got a good case.
I was going to say that I hope so, too. What do you think the odds are?
I think they're pretty good. So there are going to be a lot of lawsuits launched across the country. But where we launched our lawsuit is in what's called the 11th Circuit. It's basically southern states. It's an SEC lawsuit, I guess you could say. So in the 11th Circuit, those courts have already said that Title IX allows, for example, separate bathrooms, separate locker rooms, separate sports. So we have really good case law. There are lawsuits, I'm sure, that will be filed. For example, West Virginia has terrible law there where it says that Title IX means men have to be in women's sports. They've already said, actually, that the Biden administration has already come in into court and said, you can't have women's sports in accordance with Title IX. So I think we're going to win our case. Other people are going to lose their cases, and then it'll all be heard in front of the Supreme Court. Something that lawyers, some people like it, some people don't like it, which is it's a race to the courthouse door because any court, any individual judge can issue what's called a nationwide injunction and pause the rule across the country. And you know what? The left uses that all the time. So we're on the right and we're going to use it too. And we do hope that a judge enjoins this nationwide.
Right at the heart of our democracy lies free speech via the First Amendment. It is pivotal to every other right and privilege that we have in the United States. Every freedom that we cherish in today's digital age is kind of being squashed. Discussions about our wealth, our rights, and our future are being silenced or overshadowed in mainstream narratives. And that leaves a lot of you feeling voiceless in those important conversations about financial independence and security. And this is where Wealth Protection Research steps in, armed with a mission that's really never been more critical. Wealth Protection Research is not a financial advisory firm. They are defenders of free speech, committed to giving a voice to the silenced. Wealth Protection Research tirelessly seeks out financial experts. These are the voices that challenge the prevailing narratives, especially as we get ready to undergo the uncertainties of the 2024 election. Wealth Protection Research has created a 2024 Election Wealth Protection Report. This is a free report. It highlights the three best ideas for protecting and growing your money heading into the 2024 election. It contains ideas the mainstream media isn't going to touch, and listeners can get it completely free. Here's how you do it. Text the word IDEAS to 76626 to claim your free copy. IDEAS. If you believe in the sanctity of free speech and the importance of financial freedom, do this right now. Text IDEAS to 76626 to claim your copy of this 2024 Election Protection Report. It is time to widen the scope of what we're told, not narrow it, to hear the ideas the establishment does not think you can handle, but you can, and to take control of our financial destinies. Text IDEAS to 76626 to claim your free copy. What's crazy to me, May, is that, you know, women have had to fight for their right to vote, for the right to have their own credit cards, for the right to sports divisions that are theirs and theirs alone through Title IX. And I'm old enough to remember I was a little kid, but when it passed, my dad, who had three daughters and a son, said to us, "You are going to have opportunities to play sports that your mom never had." And he was so excited about it. And now here we are. And it's not that much later. We're 50 years into this Title IX. And suddenly there are even a lot of women, May, straight women, who are saying, "Oh, we've got to be inclusive. We've got to let trans women play in women's sports." And it just seems so counterintuitive to me. And actually the Gallup polls show that over the course of time, more people are against that notion of trans women competing in biological women's sports. So why do you suppose, even though this is a minority held opinion, we think, that it is gaining this kind of traction?
It's hard to tell. On one hand, you're right. Like, it's women who seem to be leading this charge to destroy women's rights and women's sports. And there's an emotional component to it, I think, is that women like to be inclusive and, you know, oh, this, we want everyone to be able to do whatever they want to do. No, you don't. Because when people said, "Women, you can't participate, or we're going to treat you differently. You can't have this major. You can't join this organization. You can only play field hockey." You didn't like that. And so if you'd like to, you know, I was born in 1988. And so I really have not faced barriers. I feel like as a woman, I've been able to do whatever I want to do. And so it is very frustrating to me when an older generation of woman, including my generation, is telling future generations, "You can't have what we had." Yeah. We, like, I was able to have equality, but I don't want my daughters to have equality. I want you to have to change in front of a male. I want any aggressor to be able to have access to you at any point. So I think women are doing it out of this, like, kindness emotion thing, but maybe we've forgotten. Have we forgotten where, you know, how women have been treated historically? And still, I mean, still males are the aggressors against women. Still, if you look at the rapes, it's not women raping men, it's men raping women. Still, well, this goes on.
Because they're stronger and they're bigger on average. Now, you can point out the rare case of a very, you know, slight built man who might be able to be beat up by a woman who's strong and big and tall. But the, that's not the norm. We have the facts, the science on our side. I thought we were all supposed to believe in the science and follow the science in this day and age. And the science tells us that people who have grown up with the XY chromosome pairing have a different set of traits, and they reside in their strength, their build, their height, all of those things. And that now, and I think that we've seen studies, May, have we not? And I don't know how much you guys are bringing this into this whole thing, where they say, even if you've been on, say, puberty blockers for a year, it doesn't bring your testosterone levels down low enough to make you on an equal footing with an average female.
That's exactly right. So Independent Women's Forum actually has the Bible on these issues. We call it our competition report, and it has all of the advantages that males have after puberty. And then it also gives into the lasting advantages, even if you're on 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 years of puberty, forever puberty blockers. Mm-hmm. You're not shrinking your height. Even if you can diminish your muscle mass somewhat, you're not diminishing it to the level of a woman. Even the testosterone levels that these sports are asking for are still 5 times greater than a woman would be able to have. Otherwise, she'd be kicked out for doping. So, right. It's just a woman is not a man on drugs. That is the simple fact of it.
Yes. One thing, when we ask the question, "What is a woman?" it is not, "Oh, well, it's a man on drugs." That's not one of the definitions we come up with. I mean, all of these points out, I just feel there's so much absurdity in all of this. That there's this sense that we're kind of in the middle of a weird dream. And, I, you know, it's one I want to wake up from. as you look out into this whole landscape and you see these various lawsuits, including the one that you're representing to us here today, what gives you hope that this is going to crash in on itself and that people are going to wake up and see the light?
Obviously, there is public opinion. As you mentioned, the swing is in the right direction. So from 2021 to 2023, there was a 7-point push toward people wanting sex-based sports. And so it's 70-30. I know it sounds crazy to have 30% of people who don't think women's sports should exist, but you're going to have 30% of crazy people regardless. Like 70% is amazing. Mm-hmm. But public support isn't enough. Just because something is popular doesn't make it the case. In fact, sometimes people get lazy. They say, oh, everybody likes women's sports. And so they think you don't have to do anything about it. And all of a sudden you look in the pool and there's a man swimming against your daughter. And this happens a lot. And women, and then people think, well, but it's a little guy, you know, he's not taking away trophies.
Did they see Leah Thomas? It wasn't a little guy.
It wasn't a little guy. But the thing is, a lot of these little guys, when they're freshmen, are not little guys when they're seniors. And that's what, and then injuries happen. So that's what happened to Peyton McNabb. She got her face bashed in.
Yeah.
So the thing that's going to happen, it has to be the adults in charge. It has to be people like the NCAA Board of Governors. It has to be presidents, senators. It has to be the adults who say, enough is enough. I don't care whether what I'm doing is popular, unpopular. We are going to protect women. Yeah. And unfortunately, we've seen the adults like the NCAA completely shirk their responsibility. Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons William Bach, who we had on this show, who used to be with USADA, the United States Anti-Doping Association, quit his post at the NCAA because he was so disgusted with this allowance for biological men to compete. The other thing I would argue is when you use the word inclusion, if you're going to include Leah Thomas on your roster, that means someone's going to get excluded because there are only a certain number of spots that every team in the NCAA is allowed to have. And, or you're going to exclude a woman from the podium spot that she deserves because a man took that spot. We're seeing it a lot in cycling. We've seen it in wrestling. We see it in weightlifting. We see it popping up all over the place. So people who say this is rare, it's growing. And it's, again, for people who say this is about inclusion, what about the allyship for women? Is that any part of your argument here?
It is. And I think that that's why we need to focus on coaches, because coaches are the ones who need to protect and ally with women. But our argument is that Title IX is an anti-discrimination equal opportunity statute, and you are not giving women equal opportunity when you are taking their scholarships, their roster spots, and giving it to a man. It's not how Title IX was designed. And I don't see any argument to the contrary. And the problem really is the lack of adults. And that does include coaches. Where was the coach at the Penn swim team? Where are the coaches in general? And what they're doing is they're saying, women, you can give up your spots. If you don't want to compete on this field with the man, you don't have to, you can go on your way. No. Why are you putting the pressure on young girls?
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. And I hate to pick on Dawn Staley even more, but she was asked the question. Here's a Hall of Fame player and coach, head of the South Carolina women's basketball team, saying she thinks trans women ought to be able to play. And I would love to ask her, then who on your team would you sacrifice to bring in a male? Which of your players would you say, you know, you're expendable because we've got to let this trans woman play? I would have liked to see the follow-up there, but maybe someday. It's hard to think about adults stepping forward when we're seeing so much craziness right now on college campuses with presidents of universities not able to have the spine to stand up with these tantrum-throwing protesters. And so, you know, when the pressure's on, and even if it is from a small group, they seem to cave. What's your sense of the number of coaches, athletic administrators across the NCAA in terms of their support for your lawsuit and lawsuits like yours?
Spineless. There, it's we're just not seeing anybody come out and be vocal. And people will privately say that they agree, or you know, even privately tell their players to hang in there. That's not enough. You need to be public. But the problem with being public is that these universities have been packed full of woke bureaucrats. So working with Independent Women's Forum, we've got Kim Russell. She was the lacrosse coach at Oberlin College. I know Oberlin College is crazy, but it's not actually crazier than most other colleges. So all she did was repost someone's Instagram story saying that there was a real winner in one of the, when Will Thomas won an NCAA trophy, that the woman who got second place, like she was the real winner. She just reposted that Instagram story. She's lost her job. She cannot work at Oberlin College. They completely pushed her out. They made her talk to the DEI bureaucracy. She had to apologize to everyone. Her students, her athletes were telling her what a terrible person she was. So it's just, it is hard for these coaches because there is a lot at stake. And you look at Kim Russell's story and no coach wants to be out there. I don't care. I don't care, because you are letting women then bear the burden of your cowardice. But there is a tremendous amount of cowardice.
Yeah, there absolutely is. I think there was a fifth grade girls shot put team somewhere nationally who they decided not to compete because there was a boy in their competition, and they each sort of symbolically stepped out of the competition. I mean, when we leave it to fifth graders to have to do this, God bless them and their courage and their strength. But you are right. We need adults. We need people with spine. And I hope and pray we get it. But I'm grateful to you, May, and this lawsuit, among others. And I will be watching very, very closely. We hope to have you back to discuss it when it's victorious.
Thank you so much. I hope to be back to have a victory lap.
There we go. We'll take the lap with you. Like May, everyone, be brave, do good out there, and we will see you next time.